The first dominoes have fallen. Jai Jones is on board. Nathan Jones is on board. And if the buzz coming out of Madison is any indication, more commitments could be right around the corner. It's official visit season. I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome into the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday evening to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers on today's show. Jai Jones and Nathan Jones, no relation, are officially Badgers, but they might not be the last to come out of OV Weekend 1. We'll break down everything we learned from the first official visit weekend of the summer and discuss who's next to join Wisconsin's 2027 class. We'll also do a quick preview of the visitors coming to Madison for the second weekend and take a look at where this recruiting class still needs help. We'll also talk about Wisconsin's newly hired general manager, Morocco Brown, a longtime NFL personnel executive with experience across various organizations, including my Indianapolis Colts. It's a major hire, but also begs the question, doesn't the athletic director need to be involved in that decision? Or maybe he was. You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what we're doing, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. We're doing a little bit of a subscriber push right now, trying to get up to 3,000 before football season. So help us out. About 56% of you who watch the show are not subscribed. Hit that subscribe button. That's super helpful. Like button, share, comment, all the fun things. It helps out the show so much. Justin, you always say this is Christmas for you. OV season's here. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. It was interesting on the Discord. I put out there an over under for commits at 3.5. I just think that Madison is one of those cities that when the weather is great and you have a coaching staff that's legitimately good at recruiting, you just feel like you're kind of bulletproof when it comes to it. Like you can lock down just like nothing surprises me when we have an official visit and we got Jai Jones and it's like, we did not think that that was necessarily going to be one that was going to pop, but it's like, no, it doesn't surprise me. Like it's kids get there. They get to see the lakes. They get to go to the Union. It's like, it's just an incredible vibe when you get in the city, when it's nice out like this in Madison, like you can't beat it.
So you think you're over and under 3.5, like this weekend? Cause the weekend's pretty much over.
No. I just in general from this weekend, I don't think it will be like, there are people that I know, a guy like Royalton Allen, whether he joins up or not, he's not supposed to commit someplace to like July 15th. So when guys have a date like that, like if we get him, I still consider that he was committed as of now. And then a guy like Makai Williams, who hasn't, as far as we know, hasn't committed, or, you know, Graham, I don't necessarily look at it if they end up reaching out later in the week, that being a big deal. But no, well, out of the weekend, not necessarily right.
No, fair enough. So before we do have a special guest that just hit the show, so we're going to do that in a second. but before we do that, where's all my stuff right now? I can't see my things on the side of my screen. What's going on? If you are watching on YouTube, you can see on the bottom of the screen here, this is the order of which we'll talk about our stuff tonight. If you miss something, you can rewind it, do whatever you need to do. I want to do this more often. And honestly, it just comes down to how much time I have before the show on Sunday to do this or not. So today I did. So I was able to get this done. But it really, honestly, truly isn't OV season unless a certain someone joins the show.
The Bucky Report proudly welcomes Nick Osen from 247 Sports.
Man. That's right. Nick Osen, our good buddy, covering the Badgers for Badger247.com. Nick, welcome to the show again, man. How you doing?
You guys never fail to make me smile, man. You know, we did the show, obviously, late last week. It was like, yeah, it might be a little crazy Sunday, but news happened. And I'm like, you know what? It won't be that first OV weekend if I'm not chopping it up with you guys. So thank you. I know you're rocking. I'm not stealing the whole show. Just want to jump in for a little bit with my guys.
Yeah, right on.
You can stay as long as you want, dude.
Yeah, you stay as long as you want. Well, let's kick things off with some big news that happened for the football program today or yesterday, whenever. Morocco Brown, longtime NFL executive, has joined the program as the new general manager in place of Marcus Sedbury, who was the general manager, who is now the interim athletic director. So let me just, I'm going to give my thoughts here. I'm going to turn to Justin for his. I think this is a little bit weird to me, only because you would think the athletic director is going to be involved in this decision-making process. So does that lead people to believe that Marcus Sedbury is going to become the athletic director? I don't know. What I do know is that Chris Ballard's on this committee. He's obviously my Indianapolis Colts guy. So the fact he very much knows a Morocco Brown. And so he's obviously assisting with the program. That's good. I think it's really good to have a guy of that profile in that role. Tons of NFL experience. This is a pro sport now. We're going to need that. So I appreciate that. I don't really understand why it's coming before, but before the athletic director. That to me is weird. I don't really understand that. If that means, hey, look, we're doing an exhaustive search for the athletic director. So because of that, we're going to hire this guy. This guy's great. And that's fine if that's who it is. And then we're going to spend the time to really dig in the athletic director. I'm okay with that. If they already know that Marcus Sedbury is the athletic director, then just come out and say it. If they don't, then that's fine. But it's, to me, it's a little bit odd. Justin, what were your thoughts on this hiring of Morocco Brown?
So our good friend, Doc, made an interesting point on this, and I agree with it. You have to get a GM in because there are duties that that GM is going to have to perform prior to the season here. And it's honestly, this is where you're doing your roster evaluation, because a lot of the guys that you would like to take a look at and wonder where you're going to be heading into next year, this is when you're going to evaluate. It's going to be during, you know, your weight training and everything like this during the summer. It's going to be during fall camp. And then those guys basically don't get seen during the season very much. So by the time you get into the season, it's like you're kind of already prepping as the GM. Now you've moved into the mode of, now we're evaluating other rosters and watching what's going on during the season to figure out what are the guys we want to kind of take a look at going into the season. And you're kind of figuring out, okay, where are our needs? Because maybe this guy hasn't taken the step we're going to see. It might happen in the spring, but the portal's before spring. So you've got to be proactive in this and kind of get ready for those things. Mm-hmm. And if you want to sit on the AD position and not rush it, you kind of have to have somebody in position to do the duties of this. Now,
but Marcus Sedbury was already there to do those duties.
But the point I'm going to make on that is, like, there's three true outcomes that I look at on this. Marcus Sedbury is either going to be the AD, Marcus Sedbury is either going to end up jumping back to being assistant AD, or Marcus Sedbury is leaving. It could be any one of those outcomes. Really kind of taking a look at this, I do think you needed an NFL type guy in this role, because he's going to have a true understanding. We've moved kind of to, like, the transfer portal is your free agency, and then you're doing your normal recruiting stuff. So having an NFL type personnel guy is probably the best way to do this going forward. You want somebody who's a really high level evaluator, and maybe that's kind of why they looked at it. And they're like, we need somebody outside of Sedbury who's more of a personnel guy that we want in this role, who can really kind of dig into these things and has an understanding of how to run this like we would a pro organization, versus him being more of like a administrative guy.
Yeah, listen, I'm all for the hiring of Morocco Brown. It just seems to me like I'm surprised that we don't have the AD first, but I understand it. That'll make sense. What Doc's saying makes sense. I hear all that. It's just that, like, Sedbury was already doing that job, is now the interim director. And you're right. The assistant athletic director for Sedbury might be exactly what it is. And then you hire someone else, but who knows? Nick, I wanted your thoughts on that as well. And also a question came up from our good friend, Kevin Brown. Who decides on the hiring of the GM? Does Fickell make that call? Nick, do you have any insight into that? And also your thoughts on Morocco Brown?
Yeah, I what I would say to our guy KB's question is, you know, Fickell plays a big role. I'm not sure, obviously, what kind of the final call looks like, but he's certainly very instrumental in that process. And I think the only thing that kind of surprised me, you know, I thought your explanation was really good, guys, and Justin, what you opened with, it was a little bit of just kind of like, whoa, I'm surprised this is coming out right now, because it was obviously kind of, you know, potentially planned, like FAML gets, you know, kind of some of that stuff. And from our network sources, you know, we've heard that's the expectation. I'm not sure if it's quite done there with Morocco Brown in terms of just finality, but it's obviously expected to happen. I wouldn't think or kind of compare it too much to maybe what is going on with Sedbury, because I think that obviously he's in this interim role. I think it's certainly one that he hopes that he gets. And I don't know how that's all, you know, really going to play out. I think Marcus does great work. You know, I've gone on the record saying that. I think it'll be really intriguing what does eventually happen. But like Justin said, I think it's going to be now, obviously, a different role for him. You know, this one is going to be filled by somebody else. And I will note that I do think I got a couple of notes this week. The AD role, I think, is going to come a little bit sooner than I expected. You know, I a little bit of buzz. Obviously, don't put this, you know, necessarily in Sharpie, but a couple notes I trust that it might be a little bit closer to early to midsummer rather than late. You know, in the kind of briefs that we've received, it was just a vague this summer. And I've heard that that process got a little bit revved up in the last week and a half. So it'll be really intriguing. You know, I'll put a couple names on the board. I'll probably keep them there. You know, Sedbury certainly in the mix, and just a couple of pro type feels is kind of what I've been reporting on as well. Just people in those spaces, whether they go with the short term bridge that I think I remember Justin and I going back and forth a little bit on the boards, or a longer term. I've heard both mixes, but I would guess you see that in, yeah, the next 5 weeks or so.
So that's good to know. That's good to know. And I also I think that's important. And the pro side of this, obviously with Morocco Brown having the pro experience, and obviously three people on the committee that have pro experience, clearly that's a focus. And I absolutely love that. Justin, I cut you off.
Well, what I was going to say is, like, there is an avenue here where they have somebody in mind that just doesn't have the ability to make the move quite yet. And he signed off on this, or she signed off on this too. I mean, we don't know how back channeling is working on all this. And it's possible they said, hey, we need to get somebody in this position. You know, how do you want to handle this? Are you okay with this person? This is a person that we had that applied for this. We know how this works. Like, there's always somebody that's in mind well ahead of time where it's like, it's not out publicly, but behind closed doors, they kind of know, or they know it's going to be one of these two guys or three people that they have that they're really interested in. But this doesn't take long. It's never like a super drawn out process. I'm sure there are people who outside may end up applying for this position, but I think we'd all agree more times than not, it's not handled like a normal job hiring. Like, they have people that they kind of reach out to or reach out to them through back channels and say, hey, I'm interested in this. Let's sit down and have a meeting kind of situation. I honestly do think it's a position you need to get somebody rolling in. I'm very curious to see how responsibilities are going to be laid out with a position like this, and how much responsibility is going to fall on the GM in terms of the money stuff. And what I mean by that is he going to be involved in the NIL type work, trying to banging on doors and trying to get people to get involved? Or is that strictly going to be what AD is more involved with? Is AD going to now be a position where it's like, you're a money person and you're going to be effectively just a hiring person?
I don't know. You're exactly right, Justin. And something that I've said consistently, whoever the next AD spot is, the money part is going to be huge. Mm-hmm. But whatever that looks like for the GM, that is still, from my understanding, going to be a top two purpose. You know, obviously, if not number one, I think a lot of it is still going to be some roster overseeing. And then the directors of recruiting, you know, player personnel, they're going to play huge roles. I do believe Fick makes the decision on somebody like Morocco, though.
Great. All right. Before we get into all the OV stuff, let's do a quick touch on Quantavius Fatboy Wiggins, who was a member of the 2026 class, signed his national letter of intent, has been released from that, and is heading back now to Georgia State. Obviously, we did pick up another running back. Kind of makes sense as to why we picked up another running back. Justin, any thoughts on the Wiggins departure?
Yeah, I know Ryan covered this on his show. It's one of those things where it stinks. We would have loved to have had him here. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. There's nothing sketchy here that we've heard regarding the kid. He's a good kid. Just it didn't work out. They couldn't make things work. So he's going to Georgia State now. You know, we talked about the Pope who came in as a transfer portal running back. That's part of the reason that he was there. I think he's kind of a little bit of both. Nick, would you assume that it's between him and Atuka is kind of a combination of the two? Why they grab Pope?
Honestly, it is a direct cause effect. To be fully transparent, I'm comfortable saying that now. But yeah, everything's out there. You know, I kept it vague early on, but yeah, it is because basically, wasn't going to work. I like how you put that, Justin. Just wasn't going to work out with Quantavious. I think the staff was very proactive here, rather than being reactive or anything. Got a pretty talented player, an experienced player, and somebody that, hey, he's got the potential. I'm not telling you guys he's stealing carries from the top three or four guys, but special teams, a little bit of experience, physicality, violence. He's got some defense in his background. So, yeah. And then, with Quantavious, you wish him well. Obviously, I do think that's a nice spot for him. I think that he's a good kid, good football player, potentially some growing up type of things, to do long term, just kind of figuring some things out. But I think Wisconsin was good. And I think Wiggins is going to get a chance to show some of his talents as well early on.
Yeah. I was going to say, Ryan brought up on his show talking about he thought that maybe we should go with a second back in this class. I don't know how you guys feel about that. It feels to me like that may end up being a portal situation where it's something that they look at from a depth standpoint. It doesn't feel like they're going after another guy outside of Allen. And that was your understanding too, Nick, right? Yeah.
Yeah. What I will say is 2028, that's gonna be this is my projection, but I mean, they're in on – I'm cool, obviously. You mentioned it quickly. We've got excited about on the boards a couple weeks ago. Jaden Everett's got the top two running backs in the country coming to Madison here next month. So I wouldn't be shocked at all if they're very, very aggressive at that spot next cycle.
Yeah, I have no issue with not picking up a second one right now. Portal changes everything. And Kingston Allen is good enough for that. But what we're all here to really talk about, and thank you for the 300-plus of lists that are watching us live right now, is OV weekend. Six uncommitted guys came to Madison, along with a bunch of already committed fellas. And two of them are already off the board. They're coming here. Four of them are still left. And honestly, who knows? We're going to kind of get into that when we get into our OV weekend one. We're going to talk about who those guys are left. I heard from a source last night that a receiver was going to hit today. I thought it was going to be Powell. It was Jones. Jai Jones. Is the first person we're going to talk about. Now we have not done. Oh, Derek, you have a comment you want to bring up. Sorry.
Yeah. Right. No, it's okay. Go keep talking. Cause this is regarding it. Good old Doc giving us some insight here, saying there's definitely a couple more commitments that will be announced over the next few days. So there's some good news kind of hanging out there. And
goodness, Doc.
Doc, we Doc like it. Stuff here. Like we're obviously none of us are like, number one, if we knew, we're not going to put it out there anyways. We're not going to root for the kid. And number two, it's in these situations, I don't know anything. I'm not going to pontificate on this and be like, oh, it's probably so-and-so and kind of ruin it for the kids. But there's some really nice names that are out there yet. And there's guys we feel good about. Makai Williams today, there's some smoke there because he decommitted from Florida State right after a visit to Wisconsin. So I think I haven't heard anything that says that that's happening, but it's definitely a good sign when you see that. Justin is with all these kids.
Justin is skipping ahead to our thing that we're going to get to three times.
I'm sorry.
But hey,
you were kind of going into the.
So Jai Jones is our first commit that happened today, which is fantastic. 6'2", 175 pound, composite four star. Out of Chandler, Arizona. By the way, Arizona, good state for us today. Two guys from Arizona today.
Great,
Jai Jones is actually not one of the guys that we covered. Justin and I did a wide receiver show 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. We did not talk about this guy. So his film is up. If you're watching on YouTube, his film is up. If you're not watching YouTube, no problem. If you're a podcast listener, thanks for everything you do. And we'll talk through everything. The first thing that jumps off the page for me right here is crisp route running, which I absolutely love. Really, really crisp route running. And when you see that in high school, for me, that's a big sign. He's got a nice frame. Listed as 6'2". There's some question about that, but I think he looks like he's 6'2". But really, he plays bigger than he does, than he is right now. And he is a very, very nice, really crisp route running, very fast, very agile. And I think he's a, like, ultimately he's a guy that you look down at our future quarterbacks, guys like Ryan Hopkins, Jack Sorge. I mean, this is the kind of guy that I feel like would really add to that class. And there's a ton of speed, by the way. 4.17 shuttle time, the 5.10.5 shuttle. That's incredible. He's very, very quick, which is a great asset to the class. Justin, what do you like about Jai Jones?
Sure. So the thing I noticed, there's a lot of go routes on this, and I don't love that aspect of it. But one of the things you notice on it is he creates natural space when he's running those routes. He tends to make, like, you see it kind of on his film where he'll widen himself out naturally and create that kind of extra step between him and a corner or a safety that's dropping on those routes. And it gives him some ability that it's something that you don't see a lot from high school receivers, because they just, it's just natural to him where he does it, but you don't see it often. They tend to run straight down the field. With him, he kind of has that nuance to his route running where it's like creating that extra little step gives an opportunity for a quarterback to give you a little bit more room and work with the sideline in terms of the throws. And I think that that's something that does, you know, it's not something you naturally see with a lot of receivers coming up through the high school ranks. So he is advanced in that regard. You know who I comp him to a little bit, Rajiv? And you may or may not agree with me on this. He reminds me a little bit of Hilton. I think Hilton's probably a little more polished, but I think they're similar in terms of athletically how you look at them. Similar builds. Hilton might be a pinch taller, but they're guys who kind of have a knack to just kind of create space and get open.
I hadn't thought about that. I like that, actually. I think that's a fair comparison. I actually think he has quite the versatile route tree even on this film, Justin. I think, like, there are some go routes here, but I think he does a lot on this film. Nick, what can you tell us about his recruitment? You were certainly one of the first guys on this today. Tell us about him. Is this a guy that you've met and you've talked to him? And what can you tell us about Jai Jones?
Yeah, this is just awesome. First off, guys, just how detailed, you know, the show is, fellas. I love the work put in. So first and foremost, you know, not really questions about, you know, the size, I would really say, guys, from my understanding, you know, verified 6'1¾", just around 6'2". So, like, the size is there, you know, that I certainly trust. I actually, Justin, I remembered your comment during our great show last week, but I thought that there was kind of, you know, some configurations in terms of what you said about, you know, maybe the route running. I think that Hilton might be a little bit more polished than that when he came out, is kind of how I would go with that. But, man, this is a nice get. And in terms of the recruitment, Rajiv, look, it was really, really, really nice list of offers. I think that some schools out west have really been the ones to kind of track as of late. But Wisconsin's quietly been a contender here for a long time. Offered five and a half months ago. And it was just, I don't think it was a name we heard about as much because, you know, great, great kid. I actually spoke with him a couple times in the last week, Reggie. But I don't think he does a ton of interviews. And it was one I distinctly remember writing about him and one other kid that we'll get into. Wisconsin's a sneaky contender here, you know, because I didn't know how the weekend was going to go, obviously. But the fact they got it done, I love the point that you guys made about being a nice target for future QBs. And I know we'll get into it here in a little bit. One of my favorite things is position groups. But, man, a nice start to the wideout class with some really nice names going forward. We'll touch on.
Yeah, and one of the things I'll say that I actually, to me, is a big deal. There's an Indiana offer on that, on his tab down him. That, to me, I trust that coaching staff and evaluations and who they target. So when I see that they were willing to put an offer out to him, that, to me, is a big deal. The other thing I'll say, I did look up his track times from this spring. It looks like he was an 11:06 for the 100. I'm sure we'll see him get better on that. And that's when we talked about one of the things from a comparison standpoint to Hilton that I think is actually pretty similar between the two of them. Hilton came in and he wasn't exactly a blazer. And his first spring or his first winter conditioning, he dropped, like, I think almost 0.2 seconds off of his 40 time. And so that's one of those things where this is a kid I could see having a similar kind of impact, where you see there's an extra gear that he kind of unlocks once he gets into a college program. Because he's going to
put I'll just know real quick, just I do think he's a guy that plays with more speed and explosiveness than the track time show, if that makes sense. And frankly, after our great discussion, as I rewatched the tape last week, I felt that way as well. Yeah. Like, I don't think – like, is there always room to grow? For sure. And I think Brady Collins and the staff do a great job of that. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. But I think, I'm not saying he's a speed guy like Vinny Anthony, okay? But like Vinny Anthony plays faster than his time show.
Oh, for sure.
I think that that's kind of what I see with Jones as well. Really nice start to the weekend.
Yeah, and I'm not knocking him. I'm sorry. I'm not knocking the kid. I'm just saying I think there's more untapped that can be
high ceiling guy for sure.
The other thing I would say about that is it may not be like straight line speed, but the shiftiness is that shuttle run speed is like fantastic. That. And that's it. And you can see that already. And you watch in this film, those quick cuts he makes, he's very deliberate about it too. Like even the mechanics of that route running, he's quickly looking off the cornerback, looking off the safety. Like it's really, really crisp. And it's
fluid,
just trained, right?
Maybe fluid.
Even very fluid.
Fluid. Exactly. But yeah, it's just, he's been well coached. You can see that on film. He's been well coached. And then you couple that with then adding it up right to this next level, and it's massive. But yeah, Doc says it twitchy. I mean, he is a twitchy guy. And like that shuttle speed is important because that getting off the line, that ability to create separation, which we're always talking about with Wisconsin wide receivers, it's nice. And look, we have a lot of question marks about various positions on this team already in the future, but wide receivers always something that we talk about as, ooh, we really need more wide receivers. And every time when portal season comes up, we're like, boy, geez, who are we going to get? Well, it's a good to get a guy that's already a composite 4-star, a 90 on Nick's site. Like this is a really talented guy. And there's other ones. We had Tavares Powell was here this week too. Like he's still in play. He hasn't committed yet. So that, there could be a lot more coming. And there's obviously next week, which we're going to talk about at the end of the show. We've got guys coming next week for sure. So that's good. The other commit this week is Nathan Jones. So we actually talked about Nathan Jones on last week's show. Linebacker, 6'3", 230 pounds, also out of Arizona. Nick, I'm going to start with you on Nathan Jones. Again, tell us a little bit about his recruitment. This is a guy that I think you had a crystal ball fairly early on him. Certainly someone that Wisconsin was really high on, and we're happy that we got him.
Yeah, great. Great kid, awesome family. Again, guys, a kid that didn't maybe do a ton of interviews, but gave me a lot of good nuggets, I would say. I felt that Wisconsin was trending well for a while. I don't mess around, you know, with too many crystal balls, but it was one, there was just a lot of things that made sense there, right? One last spot at linebacker. Think he would be a really nice play off of Keaton Wallen because he's just a little bit more, you know, kind of explosive that I see. Background at LB, but also edge and running back, as you see athlete there. Some of the quotes, if you guys read my piece, the way that coaches talk about him, phenomenal. And in terms of the recruitment, you know, somebody that picked up some really good buzz, I think it was really between like March and late April. And then Wisconsin, obviously they got Wallen, they extend the offer here. I think it was the only OV he was really focusing on. I know that was my understanding. And, you know, speaking with him today, speaking with people around the program, you know, obviously his coach, like I mentioned, with direct quotes. And then, I mean, just a few minutes ago, you know, some of the top linebackers in the country with Coop and Mason Posa sharing in excitement and just calling him a dog, things like that. Somebody that I think we will all agree unanimously is underrated. I love my site. They do great jobs.
By your site.
247. Yeah. Hey, come on now. I'm saying 247 needs to get up on that. And I think they will. He came from a solid program, but now he's at a really, really good powerhouse in Desert Edge, which we've talked about. So there will be more eyes on him. You know, our guys do their best. But, yes, he to me is much more. Look, if the production matches the potential, I'm not saying it's where I'll end up, but he's more of the 89 type range, 88, 89. Rather than, we've got him at like 83. Everybody knows I think that's too low. But, yeah, nice get. One that we did preview a little bit, guys, but great to take advantage. And maybe some more good news we'll have to follow along.
Yeah, I find it interesting because I look at this and I took a good long look between him and Tate Wallace when we were involved in that one. And I think Tate Wallace is a nice player. He's a 4-star himself. And I look at this and I'm like, I like him better. I like Jones better. I just think he's more physical. I think he's more explosive. I think you can make maybe the argument, maybe Tate Wallace is a little bit more instinctual. That's hard to say. I mean, that's really hard to break down when you're looking at film as to what guys are meant to be doing. But the way I watch him fight through blockers and it just kind of chuck people out of the way and go, he reminds me a little bit of Allegro.
He reminds me a little bit of some of the past Badgers that we've watched, like Mike Taylor. I think Sanborn was here. You know, some of those guys that you look at were like, he's going to just rack up numbers and you're going to look at him and say, why does this guy not get more credit than he does? Than he's just not getting the credit he deserves, but they constantly put up numbers. That's the type of guy he feels like to me. He's not going to splash as much as a guy like Posa, because Posa is just a one of one type freak of nature kind of guy where you look at it and you're just like, some of the things that he like unlocks in his brain, other players just can't do. But what I do think is you look at him and you're like, I can see a really high level player here who could be a really good college player.
So guys, what I said last week about him, and I'll say it again, like he's a football player.
Yeah.
And this is a theme with our linebackers that we've got. Obviously you look at Posa Catalano, you look at a guy that I really like in Ben Wenzel. You look at a guy like Keaton Wolin. You look at a guy like this, like there's a theme of explosive, and Justin, you said it, explosive athleticism, but they're ballers. These guys, they love to tackle. They love to just run downhill and make plays. And that is exactly the kind of profile that you want in your middle linebacker position in this growing Mike Tressel defense. And listen, it's what we've always wanted, but we didn't have it for a little bit. And now we've kind of got it back. And yes, Allegro is a good comp to this. Allegro is someone who we obviously liked from the beginning. I wish he was still with us. He's probably going to get a ton of tackles at Ohio State. Too bad. But we've got the two best middle linebackers maybe in the country right now. It's certainly in the Big Ten, at least I think. Well, maybe. But either way, it's another one of those type of players that's just a baller, a football player. You can look at the measurables. You can look at all the things that he does. But the thing that sticks out to me, which I said last week, is he's a baller. And I really, really like that. And I really like the profile that they're getting with these inside linebackers, because it's setting the tone for what a Badger defense is supposed to freaking look like. Not the crap that we saw the last few years. Like, this is a Badger defense that's getting a lot better, and it's getting much more back to the Badger defenses that we are used to seeing. The kind of defenses that were top 10, top 15 in the country. That's what this defense is going to get back to. And guys like Nathan Jones, they kind of fit the mold here, Justin. They kind of fit like what we're looking for. And man, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, he looks like a guy that, when we talk about this, I love the energy that you can kind of see in the way he plays. And that's one of the things that really popped when Posa and Kat Cooper got out on the field a lot more last year. You started to see just the energy that they brought on the field with them. You can kind of see that when you're watching him, both on offense and defense. Like, there's just an intensity to the way he plays on the field that carries over and kind of, you know, you can, it just looks like he's a man amongst boys to a degree.
Yeah. So going into some of the rest of the OV visits, like, I think these guys have all kind of mentioned it. I tease it at the top of the show. We're not done with this OV weekend. There are more. We're not going to talk about those names, but we can tell you that, like, there's going to be more that come out of this weekend. So the four guys that are left that were here that have not yet committed, our Royalton Allen. He is the cornerback out of Hesperia, California. We talked about him last week. Of course, Makai Williams, who decommitted from Florida State. He's the cornerback slash safety out of Ruskin, Florida. We also have Darren Graham, the edge rusher out of Chicago, Illinois. And finally, Tavares Powell. He is the other wide receiver that's out of Bradenton, Florida. But look, either way, Nick, talk to us kind of about, I mean, I know we don't have any more names as far as who's definitely committing. We feel good about some of these guys, but tell us more about the OV weekend. Anything else like that kind of nuggets that you have from the OV weekend and how these guys kind of saw their visits to Madison?
Yeah, absolutely, guys. This is my favorite part, so I appreciate it. This will be a little bit longer for me, and then I'll probably jump back this week for kind of the preview for OV2.
Absolutely.
So, honestly, guys, it was a damn good weekend. And, you know, I'm not going to obviously tease anything more than kind of I have on the boards. I'm just going to share info that's all accurate. I've been fortunate to speak with a lot of these guys since. So people can read things, you know, how they might like. First and foremost, you know, Darren Graham was one that I wasn't able to necessarily connect with. Obviously, you know, asked them some things about it around the network, things like that. I think it went well. He's one that as we sit here right now, you know, Wisconsin and Ole Miss are really the top schools that I am watching. But the rest of the guys I have been able to speak with, and you know, stories out or nuggets out there. Royalton Allen was somebody that I think is a really, really, really good eval. One of my favorite prospects really in the entire kind of class. And I got to speak with him, have formed a pretty good relationship. The staff's done an amazing job with him the last few weeks. And he's somebody that, you know, he's been eyeing like a midsummer, you know, type of decision. But obviously, as we know, like schools all over the country kind of fill up. So we will see, you know, how things kind of progress. BYU, Wisconsin, Colorado State, top ones there. Maybe the most versatile prospect that we'll be talking about here shortly. TJ Powell. So obviously Wisconsin got Jai Jones, as we talked about. It went very well with Powell. He absolutely loved it here. I threw some quotes on the board. It'll be story form by the morning. You know, obviously I was balancing a lot today. Wisconsin, you know, Kansas, Utah, some of the top schools to really follow. So he's one to continue to keep an eye on. And then, of course, maybe the largest target on the entire board, you know, obviously committed to Florida State for a long time. But as we were reporting, and this is one I will say, I put myself out there a little bit, a month and a half, 2 months ago, saying, hey, he might have that commitment tag, but I don't see him sticking with them. I don't see him going to Nebraska. It's Wisconsin and LSU, from my understanding. And then obviously, as time has gone on, he puts out the decommitment today. You know, his process is one that, look, when you are one of the best DBs in the country, like, processes have to play out. But I will just say Wisconsin, you know, Pat Lambert, Robert Steeples, Paul Haynes, like several recruiting assistants, like the staff has done a phenomenal job. And we will just have to kind of continue, you know, to see if, hey, they're able to close things out maybe without other visits in the future. Obviously, some heavy hitters. I'm watching Wisconsin. I'm watching LSU there the most out of the group, like I've mentioned. And I will just note finally, because I know you guys out of anybody, you know, still care, even if it's not more newsy. I think that the commits really had a great weekend too. I went all week saying I thought it was awesome that they had the whole class together. It's important for the in-state guys, but also people from outside the state. So there's kind of your breakdown. It was a successful weekend. Comfortable saying, obviously, because I've put out a couple Grinches, you know, still maybe some more news to follow. And I will have a late night pulse update for our readers as well.
There it is. The inside information right there, buddy. Let me tell you. By the way, thank you to the 460 of you watching this. Hit that like button, by the way. It's very, very helpful to the show. So definitely do that. Hit that like button if you can. If you like it. If you don't like it, then don't do it. But if you do, then hit the like button, you know?
Just don't dislike us.
Justin, who do you want the most of these four guys that I've yet to commit? I mean, is it obvious Mekhi Williams?
It's clearly Mekhi Williams to me. Number one, I think he's a guy, like, it's a feather in your cap getting a guy like that who you're effectively, you know, slapping FSU in the face and just taking a guy that they clearly want. It's another guy that LSU wants too. I like the other guys that are, like, I think all of them would be a nice pickup for this team, but he to me is clearly the guy that has the most, like, pedigree out of this group. And I actually like him as a player. Like, I think we just talked about how I think Jai Jones has something left to unlock. I absolutely feel that way about Mekhi Williams, because I look at him and I'm like, he's a kid that's going to add 20 pounds of muscle, and there's no telling how much explosiveness that adds to that frame.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Mekhi Williams would be an amazing get. I want to just, and Nick mentioned it. I think Royalton Allen is a great recruit. I think that he's really someone who I think would do really well.
I like him too.
I kind of had him pegged more as a safety myself, but I mean, if it's cornerback and that's where he is, that's great too. But I kind of had him pegged for that when we watched the film last week. But honestly, all four of these guys, and I think you touched on something really big, Nick, is getting the guys like Jack Sorge, who can kind of lead this class and kind of help bring these guys together. That's so massive, because you see that togetherness, you see that like camaraderie between the guys that are already committed. It makes people want to just sign it, you know, be like, all right, well, I'm committing here, right? Where can I sign my national letter of intent? Yeah. I think that's really important. And this is like that big, the first weekend of OBs is always the big one. And the fact that we got a four-star today in Jones and got a really good linebacking talent in Nate Jones, who frankly might become a four-star at some point. Honestly, with the way his film looks in his senior year, playing at a better school, he might actually end up there.
It's a damn good program, man.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of really good guys even left on this board. Darren Graham is another one who I feel like would be really good. I'm curious about him. We've got more edge guys coming next week that we're excited about for sure, which Justin and I are definitely going to touch on. But yeah, I think overall it's a good weekend. And if you kind of look at it and say, oh, only two hits so far, that's fine. That's okay. There were only six that were here. They're uncommitted. That's 33%. We'll take it. And there's going to be more. I can tell you for there's going
yeah,
to be
anybody more that's out of this saying week. That. Yeah, I know you guys aren't, yeah. But they're not, you know, following some of the work that you know, we're putting in covering. I, like I said, keep following along. It was a great, great weekend. I think it's going to be a damn good class in the end. And as you guys shift to the next preview, I'm going to jump, but I will be back Wednesday for that, fellas.
I want to ask you one question before you hop off here. Is Sorgi expected back for this next weekend?
That's one that I would have to dig into a little bit. I guess I could, yeah, try to check in with him. But I know that.
I was very curious if he's going to make a return trip.
Wouldn't shock me. Not a terrible drive, but guys like, you know, Coors Loken, several of the in-state guys.
He will be
certainly back. And, you know, I just think that continues to speak to not just the camaraderie, but the fact that, like Rajiv kind of said, these guys are ready to be here and get going. Mm-hmm. You know, I will point to, I know it has to continue. I know we've got to see it, you know, as things continue to go along. But, like, whether you ask reporters, optimistic, you know, potentially, or even just people high up in donor circles that I trust, fellas, like, I'm told for many there's a different feel right now. So we'll see it all happen. I appreciate you, boys. I love this tradition, and I will see you soon.
All right. See you,
Thanks for joining for us, on. Of course, as always. Yeah, man, like, look, I think that at the end of the day, it is shaping up to be a really nice class. And I think you have all these guys that showed up. By the way, that's not all. You don't always see all these guys coming in on weekend one, man. That's really nice to see kind of what's happening with this class and where it's going. We obviously we've done pretty well at various positions. But Justin, right now, where do you sort of qualify this class and the needs specifically? Like, what do you want to see as the major addressed positions in this class?
Well, as we've talked about, you and I, like, there's a couple of, I really like Darren Graham, but there are a couple of dudes coming in this next week that it's, if Darren Graham doesn't get locked down, that you better hope that Yazeen Zion and Brody Vanensteel don't jump aboard, because those guys are studs. I really like both those players. And if you're going to go ahead and get an opportunity to get them on campus, I think they need to get some guys like that in this group, because I think that's a position that you constantly have to keep reloading. So I think you need another edge, somebody who can be a pass rusher. And I think you would agree. Like, I think we both agree Zion is a guy who you can kind of slide in and out. Like, he can be a guy who can be on the edge, but he can also be slid inside if you want to have somebody that's going to be more of a pass rusher in, say, like a third and medium. Like, I think he's a guy that I trust to go in there and kind of blow things up a little bit. So that's a position that I'm kind of looking at. I think right now they're in a really good spot. I think wide receiver is a spot that I'm very curious to see how that plays out, because I think we've heard two or three for what they're looking at here. And if I was going to say optimum, now that you got Jones in here, if it's me and I get on campus and it's Steele and Channon, who are the guys, Steele and Channon Harris, this next weekend, I'm jumping on it. I'm both of them. I would be like, I'm in. If you want a spot, you better be willing to jump aboard, because after this weekend, I think wide receiver is going to be done. We'll find out if it's Powell who's going to kind of be concerned about losing his spot. We'll find out if those two guys potentially get, or one of those two guys, because I think they have a board and they have what they'd like to see out of it. But that's a position that I'm really curious to see how it plays out, because I have no clue.
Yeah, wide receiver and edge, certainly ones that are necessity. O-line, we've done pretty well. Mr. October says, any visiting O-line kids you'd make room for at this point based on film watch? Well, for me, Elijah Shaw, who's visiting next weekend, his film is fantastic. There's a couple guys. Reed Gerken's visiting next week as well.
Yeah, he's the one that I think they're really looking at, because they want a center in this class.
Yeah, and exactly. And Gerken fits a better profile. Shaw is your tackle type. I mean, he's massive. He's 6'8", 280. Like he's a big dude, and it would be great. But yeah, I mean, I think you can always get you can always figure that out. You can always get that. There was a Tyler Graham did commit to Duke this weekend.
That was one he really wanted.
Yeah, he's coming next week. Well, he's not coming anymore, but he was planning on coming next week. So yeah, let's kind of just like touch on a little bit, Justin, before we close the show today. Next week, so I'm gonna go through this list as to who's visiting. So we've got Daryl Flemister, who's the cornerback. We talked about him last week.
He's somebody to keep an eye on.
Yep. Obviously, someone who I said was my favorite. I think Justin said was his favorite. Ya'Zeen Zion again, Arizona. We like our Arizona boys.
Same school as Nathan Jones.
Yeah, he's a monster. 6'4", 265. He's absolutely a monster. And you couple that with Brody Fannin-Steele, Justin, you've talked about a couple times today. Another guy's on the edge, 6'4", 225. Look, there's some defensive line guys who really, if we can lock those guys down next week, holy shit, does this class get really good.
Yeah, those guys, in my opinion, we've talked about guys who raise floors. Those guys are guys who raise ceilings. Like,
yep.
Zion and Fannin-Steele, to me, are two guys. If you can get the two of them, I would be honestly shocked if those two players don't end up being very productive college players. Like, they really pop on film. Zion, for his explosiveness, for a guy who's got size, is really incredible. Like, he looks like a guy you could get to 270, 280 easy and could just move around, maybe even 290. Like, he's got burst to him that is unexpected for a guy that's already like 260 plus, I believe. And then Fannin-Steele, just to me, the guy I comped him to when I was watching him, like, he honestly looks to me like, Riger, Mason Riger. Mm-hmm. He reminds me of him, except with a little bit more burst. Like, he's really physical. He's a guy who looks like he'll be able to play on the edge and just blow people up, you know, in the run game, and just also can just get around the edge and just annihilate quarterbacks.
If those guys commit, obviously we'll show you their film next week. But listen, go to huddle.com, HUDL.com. Just go check it out. It's very easy to look up all these guys' film. You watch Fannin-Steele and Zion, and I'm telling you, you're gonna be like, holy crap, let's get mm-hmm. those guys. We also have Steele Harris, who's the wide receiver that we've talked about on a previous show.
He's visiting next week. Very high on him.
Yeah, James Roberson, the safety, is visiting next week. We talked about Reed Gerken already. He's coming. Shannon Harris, we've mentioned before. Kobe Rhymes and Elijah Shaw are the two other people. Not quite as high on the boards, I don't think, but those guys are coming. So it's a solid list next week of 10 guys visiting, 9 guys now if you take out Tyler Graham. But I think that you've got the two Harris guys. So you got Shannon Harris, Steele Harris, then you've got Fannin-Steele and Zion. To me, those are the four big names on the board next week. And if any four of those commit, boy, I'm telling you what, like, we're going to have a fun show next time.
Absolutely. Mr. October 247 says 18th, but that's only the ninth Big Ten class. Listen, I'm not going to argue this too much, but right now Minnesota's 12th, and you know why they're 12th? They have 25 commits. And if you look at their list, like, 2/3 of their commits are 86s. Now, those guys could turn into really nice players. I'm not going to argue that part of it when it comes to ratings. I'm just simply saying so much of it right now in this part of the cycle is based off of how many people you have committed. And Wisconsin's probably not going to get to 25 commits. So I don't care. I want to see pedigree and quality for what we're bringing into this. And Wisconsin has some really nice players that they're still chasing after that I think they have a good chance of locking down. And if that happens, like, look at it this way. Right now, if they lock down Mekhi Williams, that's 7 composite 4-stars that they'll have in this class. Now, it's not going to necessarily be a 2024, but that's a really nice class. That's probably a top 30 class if you can have 7 guys.
Yeah, I think having a top 25 target on this class would be amazing.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I don't think it's going to be our number. I think we kind of agreed it's not going
to
be our
best. If you can get to 8, between 8 and 10, I think you have a shot at 25.
Right, because our best class is back in 2021. Was that 16th, I think it was? Or 2020?
Yeah, I don't know. And we had 11, I think, in that class.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I think at the end of the day, yeah, ratings are important for now. But The bigger thing for me is the profiles that we're getting. Mm-hmm. And we talked about guys like Nathan Jones and like the being a football player that he is and the kind of athleticism that they bring, seeing guys that can run routes like Jai Jones. And like, if we get Mekhi Williams, if we get Fannin Steele, if we get Zion, these guys, the profiles that mm-hmm. you see are fitting what we're doing. Luke Fickell has a plan. Mike Tressel has a plan. Jeff Grimes has a plan, and they're kind of executing that. And I know it's easy for us to sit here and say, oh, well, things are turning up, but they really are. I really do feel like things are going in the right direction. You see we've been clamoring for years now, in-state guys, get the in-state guys. Well, he's gotten that now, right? We've locked down several Wisconsin guys, and we're going out and get targeted. We're going out and getting targeted athletes that we want. And if you watch the film and you see these guys, like they're pretty impressive. And I think that there's a lot to be said about what's happening. And I want to give credit, by the way, to Ari Confessor, the new wide receiver coach, to get Jai Jones right now. I mean, he's first year with the program. I got a chance to meet him. He's a very pleasant, splendid man, by the way. And yeah, like just really, really nice. And I'm really happy for him that Jai Jones was able to commit this weekend one. And I think the coaches are doing a fantastic job here. You got to give credit to them. And that's huge. Doc asked, is Fannin Steele verbal to Texas Tech? Yes. But the word is that he's going to be, that he's looking, he's very open to taking visits and will likely decommit. I mean, I think that's kind of where we're at.
I don't know if he's necessarily likely to decommit, but he's looking around and there's a reason why he's looking around. I don't know if that means this is the, if you don't pay more attention to me, I'm going to leave kind of situation where he's trying to give Texas Tech a kick in the butt but I do think that he's open to Wisconsin. So I think there is a legitimate chance that Wisconsin pulls this one. If they come correct and make him a priority here, which he should be. If you watch his film, he absolutely should be somebody that this staff should be all over. To me, he's one of the top three guys probably in this entire class that I look at the film and I'm like, oh my God, this guy is like, he's going to be a stud.
Yeah, for sure. Of all the guys coming next week, who's the number one person you want over anyone else? Is it Fannin Steele for you?
I have him and Zion on the same level to me. Like you get either one of those guys and it's an absolutely the weekend's a win already. If you get either one of those guys, because I think both of them are guys that you can look at and say, wow, you know, this is great work. So I feel pretty good about that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. I think to me it's Zion. Like it's just, He's the best one of those bunch. Just from what I've seen, he's the one that I would want the most. Because I feel like the profile that he brings, he can do a little bit of his, he's a little more versatile on the line. Like he can be an edge. He can also be a middle guy. Like he can do a lot, play a lot of different techs on that defensive line, which I like. And I like that versatility. We talked about the versatility of the guys that Tressel's bringing in. And he defines what that versatility is for me, for Yazeen Zion. We'll end the show there. We'll come back this week. I think we're going to another midweek, kind of officially more previewing next week, kind of go through all that list of guys, like kind of like what we did tonight, but a little bit more in detail with Nick. And of course, we'll be back again next Sunday. Justin, final thoughts before we end this fun OV weekend one show.
Yeah, it was a good one. The weather was incredible. It sounds like everyone had a good time. And look forward to hearing some new names get added to this list here shortly, but we're going to hear more people. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. There's at least one more for sure coming out of this weekend. Again, thank you to the over 500 of you that are watching us live. Do hit that like button. And many of you, if you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button. That's super helpful to the show. So definitely do that. We appreciate all your support. The last thing I'll just say is kind of going back to where we started with Morocco Brown, good hire, really good hire, I think, for the program. That pro athletics, that matters, right? I mean, this is what we are. We need to have a more of a structure that allows us to be more basically a pro franchise, and then that's what's happening. I'm very curious what's happened with the AD. Obviously, Nick said it could come sooner rather than later. I'm excited for that. I do want that to be wrapped up. I do think you need direction at the top. You need to have a leader that can kind of dictate how things are going, especially with all this money floating around and all these players that we're bringing on and all these guys that are like looking to come here. We need to have that figured out. So hopefully that can happen sooner rather than later. We'll be back again this week. Check out for our content. Definitely subscribe if you haven't already so you can get notified when that content comes through. Hit that notification bell. Share with another Badger fan. Thank you always for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.